Good morning, Leesville.
This is April the 26th, and let me call us to worship by reading to you from Psalm 34. Psalm 34 begins, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." That's a good call to worship, but it's no better than the devotionals we've been getting all week from our youth group. As a matter of fact, they have raised the bar pretty high, and so I hope I can at least do as well. I sure appreciate our youth group, their leaders, and all of the kids who have encouraged us this week. Let's go to prayer. And I'm praying on Friday based on the current information that I have, and I don't know who will be better or who will be worse by the time you hear this message. But let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that regardless of our circumstances, we have much for which to be thankful. The psalmist says, "I will bless the Lord at all times." These are very unusual times. Some of us have lived a long time and have never seen times like these, but we still have much to bless you for. We come to you this morning thanking you for all of your blessing to us. Now, we especially lift up in prayer Eugenia, and we thank you that she has had her surgery, and that's been successful. We lift up to you Mita, and I think things are back to her normal, but we know that Virginia and John and all of the family have a continual responsibility to look after her, and we pray that you'll give them rest as well. Be with Mary Austin. We pray that regardless of the diagnosis, that you will give her a healing touch. Be with William Adair and just give him the strength that he needs. And then Ashley's co-worker, Danny, thank you for progress that he's making. And we just pray that you'll be with him. Be with the rest of our shut-ins. Be with Dad at the memorial home. Be with Donnie and Say-Say. And be with everyone who hears this message today. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you about the Bank of Heaven. And it is described to us in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and Paul is closing his letter to the church at Philippi. And I'm going to pick up our reading at verse 15. I'm in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. "Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the acceptable, the gifts that you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. He will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Actually, this is a receipt. Paul is acknowledging the receipt of a gift in support of his ministry. He has received this gift from the church at Philippi. But there is a sense of awkwardness in receiving this gift. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive, and it takes a certain amount of grace to receive a gift. There is a certain awkwardness that I sense in Paul's letter. More than just being happy to get the money, he appreciates their concern for him and what he is doing. Now, in the process, he is not becoming dependent upon them. In fact, he has learned the discipline of contentment. He says this back in verse 12. He has learned the discipline of being contented in whatever financial state he's in. But he is blessed that they are thinking of him, because most people are so wrapped up with their own concerns and their own needs that they scarcely think of anyone else. Paul refers to this in verse 15, that no other church has provided any support to him. Yet even while he was planting other churches as an apostle and acting very much as a missionary, they provided supplemental financial backing. Now in verse 17, and this is a part of that awkwardness, in verse 17, he is not trying to exploit the situation. He's not looking for a gift, but he is gratified to see their spiritual maturity in thinking beyond themselves. And so that's the context that we're looking at this morning. Now let me apply this to our lives, because I'm suggesting that in a certain sense, this passage is a blank check. And I want us to look at this blank check. I want us to look at five aspects. First of all, if you get a check for $1 million, before you go cash it, you might want to make sure that it's legitimate. You want to make sure that it's that the bank actually has sufficient holdings to cover the check. Well, let's talk about the holdings of the Bank of Heaven. God owns the universe that he's created. We cannot grasp the vastness of his creation, but he says it in very concrete terms, terms we can understand. And one of those statements is found in Psalm 50, verse 10. God says, every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I don't know what cattle are selling for right now, but he's got a lot of wealth. And that's what he's trying to convey to us. In Ephesians 1:18, Paul prays that we may be enlightened to see the riches of his glorious inheritance for the saints. The question is not whether the Bank of Heaven can cover the check. The question is, do you realize how much wealth God has? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 explains that we are heirs to this inheritance which can never perish or spoil or fade. The King James there says that it is incorruptible. To put it in more financial terms, there's no way this bank is ever going under. There's no way this bank will ever have to shut down for lack of resources. And so let me point out that this promise is drawn on the Bank of Heaven. And secondly, we have to make sure the check is properly signed. And this check is signed by God himself. This is God's promise. And in a very literal sense, if God said it, you can take it to the bank. God's word is true. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will stand forever. So here's a check on the Bank of Heaven, signed by God, but let's make sure that it's made out to us. Who is the check made out to? Well, it's made out to the saints in Christ Jesus. And so, according to verse 19, our needs will be met according to the assets of Heaven's Bank. How do you cash a check at Heaven's Bank? Well, first of all, you have to have an account. And notice that God's riches become ours through our union with Christ Jesus. You get the deposit, or you get the cash, so to speak, because of your relationship with Christ Jesus. Now, Paul's not trying to engender greed here. He's not trying to exploit their generosity. But and notice in verse 18, he makes it clear that his needs have been met ever since their courier delivered their gift. But he turns it around, and I think there's a little embarrassment, there's a little awkwardness that Paul feels. He doesn't want to dwell too much on himself, and so he turns it around and he says, just as you have met my needs, God will supply your needs as well. God will fill up all your needs. I'm interested in this word need. It can be translated necessities. It really also can be translated your business or your responsibility. God will help us with our obligations. As a matter of fact, this very word is used in Acts 6:3, where it is describing the ministry of deacons or stewards. Now, if you have the idea that what the stewards do is unimportant or it is just physical or financial, and therefore it's not spiritual or it's not important, this very word is used that God ordained that the church should have people who maintain the properties of the church, who oversee the church finances, and what they do is regarded as a ministry. I'm thankful for an active board of stewards that is working together with me to try to chart our path through these uncertain times. So let me point out to you that this check is made out to the saints in Christ Jesus. And when you see in verse 19, Paul says, my God will meet your need. The only way you can cash the check is if He is your God, if He is your Father. And God cares about everything, whether it is spiritual needs, whether it's your health needs, or whether it's your financial needs. Now, I feel a little concern that you not mistake this message as part of the prosperity gospel. This prosperity gospel has often appealed to this very verse as proof that we can live in luxury if we have enough faith. And people like Kenneth Copeland will pick up on this word riches in verse 19 and tell you that because God is rich, if you have enough faith, you can be rich as well. Well, this is a distortion, but realize that within every falsehood, there is a grain of truth. Now, we must reject this entitlement mentality. But I cannot dismiss all this by claiming that Paul's not talking at all about money or financial support or physical things. He was. The language he's using is it's banking terms. But obviously, Paul is not a prosperity preacher because he's not telling them to send more. He's actually telling them, you've already sent enough. He's not trying to exploit them so he can grow rich, but he's turning it around and telling them that God will supply their needs. He's not exploiting their generosity. He is thankful for it, however. He's not like the pagan Stoic philosophers who were, quote-unquote, so spiritually minded they didn't care about their physical comforts. Paul says, I know how to be in need. And I'm in verse 11. He says, I've learned whatever state I'm in to be content. And then in verse 12, he says, I know what it's like to have plenty, and I know what it's like to have very little. And frankly, it's always a little more enjoyable to have extra, to have a surplus. We're not supposed to engage in some false spirituality that we don't care whether we have money in our pocket or not. But Paul is saying that more than physical comforts, more than financial security. God will take care of us regardless of what our needs are. Now, I want to tell you, the good news is there's no hold on this account. The Bank of Heaven is not having to downsize, nor are the resources of heaven being depleted. And so, let's get to the final point. If you're a Christian, if this check is made out to you, and if God has signed it as His promise, then the real question is, how do we cash it? Well, we appropriate God's riches through our praise. You know, as I was praying this week about what I should share with you, at first I thought I should preach a message on praise. And then it seemed in the night very clearly I was directed to this passage. And then as I stumbled onto verse 20, I found out it's talking about praise. And so there is a doxology or a benediction in verse 20. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so this is the way you cash the check. You praise God for who He is. You praise Him for what He has done. You praise Him, as Paul has done in verse 18, that He has supplied your needs. Now, this dovetails in with Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. It says that Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, in the Old Testament, if you get over into Leviticus, you'll read about all of these different types of offerings. And if sin was involved, then there had to be blood. Now, what's interesting is that God still wants us to sacrifice to Him. But no longer does He require blood sacrifices, because Jesus shed His blood and that's sufficient. An old preacher that used to be very important in my life said something. I wish I had asked him where he got this. He's gone on to heaven now, so I don't know where he got this, but I stole it from him. He often said God took the blood out of sacrifice, but not the sacrifice out of worship. So we still worship God, but now our worship is this sweet aroma, this fragrance, this incense. We saw that when we were studying in the book of Revelation. But I'm going now to Hebrews chapter 13, another verse that describes this sacrifice of praise. In Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Then he goes on and just says specifically what that is. The fruit of lips that's coming from our mouth that confesses His name. And so we worship God as we worship Him. See, this is not simply thanking Him that we got the check, but it's worshiping Him before we get the check. And then it goes on, not only are we to offer to God a sacrifice of praise, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Not only do we worship God by our sacrifice of praise, but we also worship God by blessing other people. And as we bless others, God meets our needs. Now, our motive in doing this is not an attitude of greed, but an attitude of confidence that my God will supply my needs. But God often, almost always, meets our needs by working through His body, the church. We are His hands. We are His feet. And so God meets your need through me. And as I give, sometimes my giving is a sacrifice, but I give it as an act of worship to God. And so let me wrap this up. Paul has given us three principles here. First of all, God loves a cheerful giver. We should give cheerfully. The second principle is we cannot give without benefiting at the same time. And Paul, thirdly, is saying when we give to others, we are actually giving to God. Now, this passage is really talking about giving financially, but it's not limited to money. We have needs that cannot be bought with money. We need His healing touch. We need His intervention. We need His wisdom. We need His guidance. And if He is our God, He will respond to our worship. Can you say with me, my God will supply my needs? If He is your God, then praise Him and trust Him. He will provide whatever your needs are. We live in a time of uncertainty, and while this does not exclude God helping us financially, it certainly is not limited to that. Whatever our needs are, God will supply. Our God will meet our needs according to the riches of the bank of heaven. I hope that will give you faith and confidence in what you face this coming week. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank You for who You are. I thank You that You're a good God and that You're our Heavenly Father. You delight in protecting us and providing us for us. And Lord, we sometimes don't even know what we need. We don't know what to ask for in the coming week. But I thank You that we can have a direct account with the Bank of Heaven. As we praise You, we can draw on Your strength and Your resources, and we know that You have inexhaustible resources and that You will meet our needs through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank You that He's the conduit. He's the God-man. And the riches of heaven are deposited into our meager accounts through the pipeline of Jesus Christ. And so we worship You. We thank You that You've never failed us. And regardless of predictions, regardless of timelines, regardless of quarantines, and social distancing, and all of these things that we're struggling with, we're thankful for Your grace that's sufficient. Help us, Lord, not to just cripple along through this next week, but help us to live in the bounty and in the confidence of Your sufficiency. We pray this in Your name. Amen.